Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Hear me?
Yeah, you ready to go?
All right. Yep.
All right, perfect.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Tonight, we're going to talk about Kell Brook finally calling it a career, and Matchroom cuts Demetrius Andrade. But first, we're going to get started with the big one. Last night, DAZN pay-per-view, Canelo Alvarez versus Dimitri Bivol for Bivol's WBA Light Heavyweight Championship. Bivol beats Canelo Alvarez by unanimous decision, 115-113 on all the cards. Bivol was so good last night. He was the busier fighter. He used his jabs, his combinations to kind of keep Canelo at bay. Canelo looked good also, but Bivol was just busier, landed the more significant shots. Canelo was loading up on every shot, and quite honestly, he was spent around round seven. We noticed him in the corner. I said, man, he is breathing really heavy. When you looked at him between 7, 8, and so on, his chest is moving up. You could tell he is done. I mean, he is out of gas. Bivol, you know, and it was because he was trying to connect, you know, load up on those shots. Now, Bivol, on the other side of this coin, he was just trying to connect. He reminded me of a baseball player just trying to make connection with the ball, just put the bat on the ball. That's all he was doing. Not loading up on everything. He would vary speed from time to time, but always just trying to connect, always throwing in combinations. And the thing that actually separated him and actually won him the fight, Bivol I'm speaking of, was his footwork. I thought his footwork was really good last night as to compare to Canelo's. Canelo, everybody had talked about how bad Canelo's footwork is, but they kind of forgot about this through this whole run he's been on. But this guy was able to move. He was able to frustrate him. He was able to maintain good distance, and the biggest part of this, he was able to force Canelo to fight his fight. It was just classic boxing by Bivol. Now, before we go into the breakdown of the judges' cards, because I really want to get to this. This is pretty crazy. Bib, your thoughts on the fight last night?
Yeah, you know, to me, this was sort of like a Mayweather-esque performance from Bivol. I thought it was very similar in the way Mayweather beat him. Mayweather beat him with speed, movement, and really the ability to gauge the range. Mayweather actually was walking Canelo down in that fight. He was coming forward as well as moving and backing up, right? So I just thought Canelo was outboxed, outmaneuvered, outfought. You know, Bivol was a great counterpuncher. And like you said, Bivol was throwing multiple shots, putting shots together when Canelo was just throwing one shot at a time. And Bivol kept using a lot of subtle movement, kept circling, didn't stay in front too long, got his combinations off, and then backed out and reset. Didn't take a ton of chances. But I think he did get Canelo's attention a few times, and he buzzed him a few times. But I think what's really underrated here is Bivol's defense. He was blocking all those body shots, catching him on the arms, the elbows. He was even catching and shooting. He had Canelo lunging in and reaching a lot. His jab really was frustrating Canelo. He was really measuring him with that jab. He was disrupting him with that jab. He was breaking Canelo's rhythm. Canelo couldn't get untracked in this fight because he was constantly being touched, and he constantly had to react to whatever Bivol was doing. And when you're put in a situation like that, your hands are staying home because you're defending all the time, right? And that's what I think was the big factor was the foot speed. Like you said, Canelo's never been known for having quick feet. But one thing, at least from my perspective, I never envisioned the foot speed differential being this great. And even the hand speed differential, he looked a lot quicker and faster and just sharper than Canelo.
Yeah.
So this was more of a thing of where I believe Canelo was outclassed last night, outboxed, and he was just outthought. And it's one thing having the game plan, but it's another thing being able to utilize the game plan, right? There's been many guys who Canelo has beaten that had that height and reach advantage on him, but they just didn't know how to capitalize on it, or they weren't able to capitalize on it. And Bivol was, so full credit to him. Full credit to him.
Yeah, JC mentioned this, and I thought about this earlier too. When I was watching that fight last night, Bivol didn't take the bait on the ropes either. I saw Canelo multiple times go to the ropes, get hit, and Bivol would back up, and Canelo would motion him to come in, and Bivol said nope, and just kept doing what he was doing. He was so disciplined in that fight last night. Now, I know a lot of you guys, I think Georgie said that basic boxing beat him. Listen, man, basic boxing beats everybody. I mean, that's just the way it is. Someone who does the basics very well is always successful. But a lot of people saying that the 1-2 beat him, and I've read this on multiple places, that's oversimplifying what happened there. Bivol's throwing combinations. He's moving. There's a big difference between just, you know, it wasn't as basic as maybe you guys think. Let's talk about these scorecards real quick, Beeb. 115 to 113, all three judges. And I believe, as I'm looking at this, they all had the same rounds, which is very odd. I thought it was
identical scorecard.
Identical. The first four rounds, here's what blew my mind, that the first four rounds all went to Canelo. It was 4-0 going into that fifth round. How is that possible? I have no idea. You know, I mean, you could do 2-2, 3-1, Bivol, 2-2, maybe. 4-0 Canelo? Come on. I don't even know how that's possible. I mean, just volume alone, how's that possible? You know? Bivol then wins the next, looks like four rounds. Canelo gets the ninth. And then Bivol, of course, takes 10, 11, and 12. How messed up is this? Bivol, if Bivol loses the 12th round, it's a draw. How did you, Beeb? I had the fight scored, I believe it was 9-3. I'll double check it again. I believe I had it 9-3.
I had it 9-3, and I gave Canelo rounds 2, 3, and 9, but the third round could have easily been a swing round, and I could have easily given that to Bivol. So you could have even had it 10-2. I don't know. Is it impossible to score at 8-4? Even that, I think, would have been a stretch. Yeah, I had it 9-3.
1-4-8 is what I gave Canelo.
Okay.
I gave him 1-4-8.
Okay.
And that was it.
I
thought Bivol was just taking charge in there. Tony Boswell says prepaid scorecards. You know, I tell you what, when I look at this, what rounds did you give Canelo?
I gave Canelo rounds 2 and 3. You gave him 1.
I gave him 1 and 4. You gave him 2 and 3. So possibly, okay, so then it is possible to have it 4-0. All right, so you gave him 2 and 3, and what was the other round you gave him?
9.
And I gave him 8. To have the same scores, it's just weird. You know, I mean, I know it's different when you watch the fight, but to have the same three guys on the same scores, get that. I get that. To have them on a back-and-forth fight, the same exact rounds, same exact scores? You don't see that
very
often, no? I mean, you know, this is not something we see every day.
At the very least, you have to say that Bivol at least won probably two of the first four, if not one. But to say he lost all four rounds is crazy, in my opinion.
Well, you know, here we are. We disagree on the first four rounds. I mean, as far as who won each round, okay? Fine. But, like, these guys agreed on, you know, as you and I are watching as two different people saying, hey, this is this. You got three people watching this fight, and their scorecards are identical. Not the scores at the end. I'm talking about every single round. There's just that's you know, you don't see that every day. You know? I mean, that's just the thing. You don't see it every day.
It's crazy. That's crazy.
It's just an odd thing.
I'm just flabbergasted by it.
The fact that everybody saw Bivol winning this fight, winning it, you know, handily. You know, Canelo needed a knockout going in the 11th or 12th round, but he really didn't. I mean, can you imagine if Canelo wins that 12th round, it's a draw? Or, hear me out, if Canelo wins 11 and 12, he wins the fight.
Hmm.
How? I mean, what?
Yeah,
talk
about Dr.
Serious? That looks like Beeb froze up on us. You know, that just, like I said, again, it just blows my mind because you see scorecards, you don't see many scorecards like this. You know what I mean? Not many like this at all. That's what's odd to me about this. You know, it's not uncommon to have 115, 113 across the board. It is uncommon to have every single judge score every single round the exact same. Just odd. But listen, the important thing is the right guy won last night. You know, Bivol was busier. And, you know, listen, man, you got to give him credit. It's not like Canelo fought a bad fight. He didn't. He just ran into a guy who had a better game plan for him. You know, and they saw this, and we, you know, I think, you know, they saw this, him coming up to 175. They saw it with the Kovalev fight, because I thought Kovalev was winning that fight. Now, whether he was winning on the scorecards or not, that's, you know, that's another issue. But he was winning on the scorecards. I thought Kovalev was winning on the scorecards, but at the end of the day, you know, after the, you know, he got knocked out, but I thought he was winning that fight. And so from what Bivol said, Bivol and his people said, they watched that Kovalev fight, try to get different pointers on what he did right, what he did wrong, and that's how they adapted a lot of their game plan for this fight, which was good, which was really good for them, you know, because it worked. You know, they really did a great job game planning this. They really did. Bivol will be back on in a second. He's having some internet issues over there, which is fine. We'll go on. All right, so let's see here. The other thing I want to talk about here in respect to the fight last night was the disrespect that was shown to the champion, Dmitry Bivol. And this is something I didn't hear a lot of people talking about, but I was just floored. They didn't play, I don't believe they played the national anthem, the Russian national anthem. They didn't play that, you know. And in my opinion, man, if you're not going to play his national anthem, you shouldn't play any national anthem. All right? I get Russia's in a bad spot right now with the war and everything like that. Listen, he's not a part of that. He, you know, he at least deserves to have his anthem played, you know, if that's the case. Not only that, he walked in first. You know, champions don't usually walk in first. They walk out second. But it's Canelo. I gotcha. Let's bring him out. We got it. Then they introduce him first. When was the last time the champion is introduced before the challenger? That almost never happens. Again, it was just from the word go, it was awful. I mean, the way he was treated. And what did he do? He went and he did his job. Nothing rattled him last night. Nothing. You know, when he got out there, he had to wait for Canelo. Canelo goes on this big stage or whatever, spins around for the people, comes, you know, marching in the ring with mariachis and all that other stuff. Listen, man, Bivol was unfazed by that moment. This was the biggest fight ever in his life. The biggest fight for Bivol, and I mean, to not freeze up like a lot of guys have. Callum Smith, I believe, froze up. Caleb Plant, I think he froze a little bit. I really do. He did well in spots, but I think he froze in that fight. Billy Joe Saunders, you know, a lot of guys freeze on that big stage. Not because Canelo's a power hitter. He is, and he's one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world, right? But this guy said, it doesn't matter to me. I am going forward. I'm going to execute my plan, and that was it. And he did. And he did such a great job. He did such a great job of it. Beeb's back here. Beeb, give me your thoughts on those judges' scorecards.
Yeah, I just thought those cards were very wide. I don't know. I don't want to use the word corrupt. I don't want to say that there was foul play here, but I've never seen something like this in a fight so one-sided that all the judges had, you know, the first four rounds equal and they had that ninth round equal. To have identical scorecards in a fight like this that was so one-sided in Bivol's favor, it's crazy. Words can't describe how baffled I am by that. I just didn't see that the same fight these guys saw, and I don't think anyone did. I don't think anyone gave Canelo more than three rounds that I've talked to. I just didn't see anyone that had this fight remotely close.
Yeah,
you know?
It was not that close. I didn't think it was that difficult to score, you know?
Yeah. And I agree
with
you.
By Iron Throne, Beeb. As an American, we weren't complaining that our anthem was played, you moron. Okay? This is why you have to listen. It's why you have to listen to what you say. Listen to what we say. It was not complaining that the American national anthem was played. The Mexican national anthem and the American national anthem were played, not Bivol's national anthem. You what? You what?
I mean, for him to not understand how disrespectful that is to Bivol,
right?
Then you're xenophobic. I understand what's going on in Russia, but in that situation, you just don't play any of them. When Errol Spence fought Ugas, they didn't play the national anthem. They don't play the national anthem at UFC events. It's not a rule that you have to play the national anthem. So to sit there and play the American and the Mexican and not play the Russian, just don't play them all, any of them.
Let me tell you what, I hate it. I'll be honest with you. I can't stand it. By the time you're waiting for this main event to come out, this is every main event in boxing, right? You go out there, it's a 20-minute procession. You've already waited hours to get this main event on, and then you go in, and then you got the national anthems. I hate it. It doesn't need to be there. Play them in the beginning. Even at UFC events, they play the national anthem at the beginning of the show. Before the first fight comes out or anything, everybody stands, you'll play the national anthem. They do the same thing at basketball games. They play the national anthem. If you're not, I mean, you know, listen, I don't need to see it on TV. I don't need to hear people sing it. Listen, we're all waiting for this fight. And then what gets me is the pageantry, you know, everyone, there's a pageantry to it. I don't care, all right? I really don't. Listen, you want to play our national anthem, that's fine, all right? But you're going to go through this whole procession of national anthems and then skip Bivol's anthem. How? Why would you do that? It makes
and
no
even
sense.
He said after the fight, he goes, when he asked, when he was asked about the rematch, he said, you know what? Yeah, I have no problem with the rematch, but I want to be treated like the champion this time. You know what I mean? So you could tell that he was slighted. And, you know, you made a great point because many fighters have got caught up in the moment. And I thought that before the fight, I even mentioned that possibly he was going to get caught up in the moment. I predicted that he would have gotten caught up in the moment. But he actually embraced the moment. He
Nice.
Fed off of the crowd going against him. He fed off of, you know, all of the slights that he received. That motivated him, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right.
And most of the time, in a lot of situations, that's not the case.
And my Iron Throne, as far as you're concerned, you can replace the R with a C. I was trying to be nice. So Kevin Fuentes says Russians like Bivol don't feel emotion. That's what he looked like. I'll be honest, that's what he looked like last night. You know, he looked like a cyborg. He had a job to do, and that was it. Now, after the fight, let's talk a little bit about this. After the fight, they interviewed Canelo Alvarez. Canelo, of course, thought he won the fight, but he did say that Bivol was the better man tonight. He said he has no excuses. Maybe the weight played a part. Maybe it didn't. Bivol was the better man. Bivol did the same thing. They were both so gracious, you know, very gracious, and that was really good to see. You know, it was really good.
There was no bad blood. There was not 1 ounce of bad blood between the two. And you know, I think the fight still was a good fight. It was an entertaining fight. It was a great event. And, you know, it just goes to show you that you don't have to have, like, you know, any gimmicks to a fight or any you know, crazy things go on beforehand. You don't need a slap or you don't need a push. You don't need trash talk. Sometimes it does make the fight more. I don't know. So I don't want to say it makes the fight better, but the buildup sometimes can enhance the interest for a fight.
There was, listen, there was buildup to this fight, but there was no animosity to it. And it did not make for a real thrilling buildup. I got to be honest. You know, when they went in there, they had the weigh-in. And I'm like, I was all set to do. I'm like, I'm thinking about a weigh-in show and everything like that. And I'm like, what for? This is, I mean, nothing changed, nothing, you know, both guys. It was just kind of uneventful.
You know, I hate to always dump on DAZN, but I have to say, they do a horrible job with promotion. I did not
they
start seeing.
They do a
horrible
job across the board with everything they
yeah.
do.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. And because you have DirecTV, I have Comcast.
Yeah.
I did not see one advertisement. I started seeing YouTube ads the day of the fight. Nothing like when Fox has an event coming up, or even ESPN. ESPN doesn't do a great job either. But Fox and Showtime, they do a phenomenal job promoting their events. They really do. Like PBC, that's one thing I'll give them credit for. They're good. They're good marketeers. They're good marketers. I think they do a good job. I'm not really impressed with DAZN. And here's another thing, and tell me if I'm off base here. I don't know how your DirecTV package is. But with Comcast, we have, like, they add Netflix into our package. They add, like, HBO Max. There's a Peacock app we get as well. So we get all these extra things that are added into our package that aren't necessarily regular channels. They're like app digital channels, right?
Yes.
Why can't DAZN work a deal out with maybe DirecTV, Dish, or Comcast, or even all three to get their app? Because like, a lot of people, these boxes essentially are downloaded now with apps, and they're basically smart TV type, or they're almost like Roku's now, where you can get apps that are built in. Like a lot of my apps, like my Amazon Prime Video app and all those other movie apps, the Hulu app is pre-downloaded into this box that I have. Mm-hmm. Why can't DAZN get a bundle, like work out a deal with like I said, the big three, DirecTV, Comcast, and Dish, and bundle up their service with a, you know, a cable and satellite provider? Would that make sense?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know that they didn't. I know anytime a pay-per-view fight is on, it's usually on DirecTV, no matter if it's on an app or whatever the case may be, where you can actually buy it. All right, maybe with the exception of ESPN, but even then, I don't know. But I know a lot of times it's right on there.
No, I'm not talking about just the pay-per-view, Eric. I'm talking about the app as a service. Why not add that app as a service? Like bundle it up with the big three. Wouldn't that make them more popular?
You would think.
Right?
You would think. But, you know, I guess because, you know, and make it a channel where, you know, just like it so you can pick whatever, you know, whatever you're watching. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Hey, guys, let's get these likes up here. We got a lot of people watching here. We got, like, very few likes. So let's hit the like button, man. Show your appreciation. We're here on Mother's Day. You know, Beeb and I are busy today. We're here with you guys, all right? So let's hit it, man. Come on. Don't be stingy. Not asking to work at a coal mine. Just hit a button. That's it. It's not that big of a deal. All right. So, Beeb, September. There will be no Triple G versus Canelo. At least I don't think so, because this kind of threw a monkey wrench into that. Dwayne is, he said, is a rematch really necessary here? It doesn't matter. The rematch will happen. Canelo has a rematch clause. He's already invoked his rematch clause. They are going to fight again, right? So at this point, you know, you sent me the video, and I just read that he wants this at 168. Bivol wants this at 168.
He would be open to fighting it at 168. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, I think, you know, and everybody who's doubting Canelo who can come back and beat this guy, listen, we didn't think he had a chance to beat Triple G the second time, but he completely revamped it. He beat Triple G. You know, like I said, man, we scored it a draw. It's hard to say that he didn't win that fight, okay? It just is. I thought he did a great job in that second fight. I think he can – Bivol, I think that he can do a better job against Bivol. Can he beat Bivol? Yeah, I think anybody can be beat on any given day. That being said, you know, Biv, I hate rematches. I want to see this one again. I want this one to run it back.
Really?
I want to run it back, and I want to run it back at 168. I think that's a great fight. I think it's a better fight at 168 than it was at 175. Yes.
So you don't think this is just a bad style matchup for him? You think that it's a winnable fight at 168?
Listen, I thought that the Triple G fight was a bad style matchup for him. You know, I thought that was a bad style matchup for him. But, you know, he came back and he did a great job in the second fight.
Well, this is why I love this show, because we're not always on the same page. I would not mind a rematch at 168. I think it would be intriguing to see him go down to 168 and, you know, fight for the undisputed titles. So it would be an intriguing fight. But I'm going to be honest, what I saw last night, that I don't think Bivol is going to get slower, right? I don't think he's going to get dumber in terms of boxing ability, right? I think it's a bad style matchup, and I think he beats him even at 168. This is a guy who says he walks around at 183, 185 pounds, right? He's not really a big light heavyweight. He's not Callum Smith size. He's not Sergey Kovalev size. Like, Sergey Kovalev is fighting his next fight at cruiserweight, right? And, you know, Callum Smith is 6'3", 78-inch reach. He's a big dude, right? The big difference between Bivol and those guys is Bivol, I think, is much quicker with his feet and with his hands, and he's just a much, much more disciplined fighter. He can really stick to a game plan. He doesn't make many mistakes, right? He himself said that, you know, he wasn't really throwing everything with power. He was just looking to make contact because he wanted to just box. He didn't want to take any unnecessary chances and get countered, right? A lot of fighters can't be that disciplined. Like, a lot of times when you're in that ring as a fighter, you hear fighters say this, when you're able to hit your opponent at will, it's easy to get a little bit overzealous, over aggressive in there, and you start becoming complacent. That is not Bivol, right? So I've seen a guy, or very rarely seen a guy, that has been that disciplined, who just can follow the game plan to a T and not deviate whatsoever. This guy is totally dialed in, does not fight off of emotion. You hit him, he's not the type of guy where he's got to go right back and get it. He's going to continue to try to set up the shots. So I just, in my opinion, these guys can fight 10 times, and I think Bivol beats them 9 out of 10.
Well, we thought the same thing with Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz. You know, we thought the same thing with Triple G and Canelo. Thing is, man, sometimes they're able to go back. Sometimes they're able to retool, get a different game plan. Sometimes it's not,
but,
you know.
But to me, this fight was just so one-sided, whereas you saw some streaks of competitiveness in those other fights. Like the Triple G Canelo fight, I scored it 7-5.
The second one.
Both. I scored them both 7-5 for Golovkin.
Did you really? I thought the first fight, I thought I had 8-4, 9-3 somewhere in there. I thought Golovkin lost him.
Yeah, I had it 7-5. I thought it was competitive. But 8-4 is totally plausible as well. So I thought that fight was somewhat competitive. I thought both fights were competitive, right? And you know, even Joshua had Ruiz hurt, whatever, but Ruiz came back. But this fight, I thought you could argue that at best, Canelo won 3 rounds. You could even argue it was 10-2. This was this reminded me of how Mayweather outclassed him. You know, people can disagree with me if they want, but that's just how I saw it.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can come back from this. When you see a guy controlling a fight with the jab and stuff and really outboxing him, and like I said, he's not going to get stupider. He's not going to ever fight irresponsibly in there. He's not going to do anything stupid, and he's always going to be quick on his feet with his hands.
I love the fight at 168. I think he would beat him at 168 probably just as easily, in my opinion.
Yeah. Bad Brother asked, he said, in your opinion, how does a rematch at 168 play out versus what we saw at 175? I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if the rematch would play out any differently. I don't know if Canelo wins. I don't know. There was a couple things, you know, if you're a Canelo fan, okay, a couple things you can point to. Hey, listen, man, you look at it and say, hey, listen, it took place at 175. Maybe that's where the weight came in. Maybe that's why he got tired. I'm not 100% sold on that fact. I think that he got tired during that fight around the seventh or eighth round from throwing bomb after bomb after bomb. You know, that stuff takes it. You can't just throw with bad intentions every single shot. You know, it just doesn't work that way. Would it be different? I don't know. But I think it could be different. What I would be real leery of is the judging, you know. And if I'm Bivol, maybe we try to get this thing out of Vegas. I don't think you can, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. Again, where else does this fight take place aside from Vegas? You know what I mean? You know, Bivol is not going to carry any weight. I don't think he carries any weight now, even though he beat Canelo. He's going to carry a little bit more weight than he did. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, Asim Khan, that's a great point, too. He says, what about Canelo's new vegan diet? I heard this, maybe, and I didn't study too much on this, right? I didn't study too much on this, but I read somewhere that he was vegan or that he was practicing vegan and stuff like that for this fight. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that played any part in it. I really don't. I think that if you're a vegan, I think you can get just as much nutrition as you can any other diet. I think it's the same. I think as far as, his stamina, him not feeling it, I think he'd probably feel the same on a vegan diet as you would on a regular diet. I'm sure you feel better. You know, you're not taking in all the protein. You know, you're taking in different kinds of protein and everything like that. I don't think that was an issue. Beeb, do you think that would have been an issue?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue, to be perfectly honest with you. As long as he's getting the calories that he needs, I'm not crazy about the vegan diet. I felt that I lost a lot of muscle on it, but that's just me. Maybe I wasn't doing it right. I wasn't a vegan. I was a vegetarian a long time ago, and I was a vegetarian for like almost 5 years. But I like eating the meat. I feel better with it. But there's a lot of vegans who have no problem being vegan. And Maestro's actually
a vegan.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Maestro's a vegan. I know he's in
crazy shape. He does security for Beeb Industries, man, and no one messes with him.
Nobody messes with that guy. Yeah. Didn't you think he benches like 300 pounds or something crazy like that?
I'm not sure if he does that, but I know he's strong. You know, I wouldn't mess with him. I'll talk shit to him online and on the phone, but never to his face.
Oh, that's terrible. What's the matter with you?
No, I won't even do that. I won't even do that to him.
Yeah, Maestro just put down, he's actually much healthier now. He said he's a vegan, no issues at all. Yeah, I mean, Maestro's in good shape.
Yeah, and shout out to Maestro. He was down there, and he did a great job, man.
If you guys, listen, man, this is the other thing, too. If you guys are not subscribed to Maestro's channel, you guys need to get on it because he's got great interviews on there. He does interviews for the Boxing Voice, stuff like that. He does interviews all over the place, right? And then check his channel out because he's got shows going on. And, 3:30 on the bench for Maestro.
I mean.
That's insane, right?
We only hire the best here at Beeb Industries. I mean, I just pay this guy to walk down the street with me sometimes when I'm in NYC, man. I mean, this guy.
That's insane. Yeah, I'm going to hire him as a bodyguard to walk down the street with me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Going to need it after the last couple shows. Bang Mateo says he can do 120 pounds on the bench press. Hey, listen, man, at least you're bench pressing, all right? No shame in that.
If you're working out, you're moving, you're doing anything. I don't care if you're doing Jane Fonda's workout with a DVD player, man.
No shame in that, man.
We'll give you the props here at Beeb Industries.
Give him the thumbs up. Now, Beeb, I want you to address this A lot of people in the chat are asking about Robert. Ringside Robert. We're going to try to get him on the line. Go ahead and tell a story. I'm going to try to get him on the line
here. This is what happened to Ringside Robert. I got a call yesterday, and he was unable to order the pay-per-view on his own. And there's a rumor going on out there. I heard from my sources that Triple G actually called into the zone and blocked Robert from buying his pay-per-view yesterday because of what Robert said about Triple G. He was very disrespectful. Triple G was offended. Triple G's family was offended, right? Felt as though his character was assassinated by Mr. Robert Herrick. And Triple G actually called Eddie and asked Eddie to put in a word to the zone, pass it along to the zone. I don't want this little scoundrel. I didn't say it now. I don't want this little scoundrel having access to be able to buy this pay-per-view.
Oh, stop it, Beeb.
He's calling me up, asking me to make phone calls for him. Beeb, they blocked me from this pay-per-view. How can I get back? How can I get it? How can I get it?
What's the matter,
Robert? Robert, you ruffled too many feathers, Robert. I can't help you here. You ruffled too many feathers.
Something about, so the real story was what, he couldn't buy the pay-per-view?
They blocked him.
Were they deny his credit card or something?
I don't know. He was trying to buy it. I had Mrs. Herrick on the phone yelling at me. Everyone was yelling at me. Beeb, help me out here. Help me out here.
So bad, Robbie.
My arm only reaches so far here. There's only so much I can do.
That's a trip. That's a trip. I told him to call in, so whether he does or not, I don't know.
He won't call in, man. He's a coward.
So a loser. So given the fact this fight comes in, yeah, and by the way, guys, come on, let's hit the like button. Let's get them up. We got 240-some-odd people here watching, man, only 56 likes. Let's get the like buttons up, man. Come on.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There it is. Babe, let me ask you a question now. As far as the fight, if you had the promoter's license, okay, who does Bivol fight next? Does he fight Canelo? I guess he would have to fight Canelo because of the money. But, you know, who would you, if you had your druthers, who would you rather see him fight next?
I'd like to see him fight the winner of Joe Smith Jr. versus Archer Beterbiev, man. You know?
I think he beats either one of those guys, no? Beterbiev is so good, though. Beterbiev's another one that's really good.
Beterbiev's dangerous, you know? Beterbiev's dangerous. I think both guys, I mean, Bivol took Joe Smith Jr. to school when he fought him. It was a very, very one-sided fight. But
Yeah.
I would pick Bivol over Beterbiev too, man. But at the end of the day, man, I would like to see him get the winner of that fight. But I would hope that would see. I think Joe Smith could. I'm picking Joe Smith to beat Beterbiev. So I don't know if that...
You're picking Joe Smith to beat Beterbiev?
I am, actually, yeah.
Nice.
And I'll explain to you why later, but...
I don't want to hear it, but, you know.
But, keep it up, man. Keep it up. You'll be in the same boat as Robert, right? Human Resources is already on your ass.
Human Resources is on me, like... You wouldn't believe. Let me tell you
Keep
what.
Keep it up. But, yeah, I'd like to see Bivol have an opportunity to unify. But, again, you know, if he's going to get big money for a Canelo rematch, I'll tell you, I the more I think about it, I don't hate that rematch at 168. I don't.
It could be a different dynamic at 168.
I like it.
I like
that rematch at 168.
Yeah.
You could market it like, yeah, Canelo took that challenge. Now it's Bivol's chance to take a challenge, you know, and be a unified – win the not unified, but the undisputed title at 168, you know, so.
Craziness, man, crazy. But I think the good part about this is that this ruins the Triple G fight in September. Now, where does Triple G go from here? You know, I mean, honestly, where does he go from here? Because he's, you know, he was supposed to fight Canelo, had a contract, you know, pending this fight. Where does he go now?
I wouldn't mind seeing Triple G fight someone like Jaime Munguia, to be honest with you.
That's the fight to make. I really think that's the fight to make.
You know, both guys are on his own. You don't have to deal with that bullshit that you have to deal with trying to get a fight with Charlo.
Yeah.
Both guys are on his own. It's a no-brainer. Then even if Triple G loses, I don't know if he'd lose that fight. I would pick Munguia, but that would be a good fight. Even if Triple G loses, he could still do the Canelo fight at 168 and move up.
I thought he was going to lose against the Ryota Murata. So what do I know? You know? Yeah, about Ryota Murata. You know, because last time, like I said, when we saw Triple G the last couple of fights, and he's just been on that slide, you know, and then he goes on Murata. Looks great. Used the jabs. Perfect. Antonio Luna, thank you so much. He said, with the B-ball win, does Benavidez have a better chance now of beating Canelo? I don't think so. I think that, I've always thought Benavidez is a really good matchup for Canelo. Whether he beats Canelo or not, that's a different animal. But as far as, with the win, I don't think so. I don't think he has any more of a chance because Benavidez doesn't fight like Bivol. He just doesn't. You know, Benavidez likes to go in and get you and everything like that. And, you know, they're just different fighters, you know. The phone lines are up, Bede. So okay. Anybody want to call in, they can call in. In fact, let's go to the phones now. 516, you're live.
Jesse Reapin, oh, shit, man. I'm the first guy in 2 weeks in a row. That's crazy.
Jesse, congratulations, man. I saw that earlier in the week. Post earlier in the week. Congratulations on that.
Eric's very – we're all proud of you here at Beeb Industries and you know.
I'm not that proud of you, but, you know, Beeb
is a
proud
father.
Yeah, thank you.
We're glad to welcome you to the team here, man.
I always like when young love blossoms. When are you and Donald getting married?
Yeah.
I know you popped the question to him, so that was a big congratulations. So when are you guys getting married?
Please, Eric.
I'm calling to talk about the fight, though.
Beverly, of course.
Bevo took him to school. I don't think that. Beeb, I was surprised. You know, I was watching this morning, and the guy thought that you had picked them, and you usually pick the underdogs, but not this time, huh?
Not this time, bro.
You said you had Canelo.
Not going to lie.
Yeah.
I always tell the truth. You think my name's Corey Lee?
Corey Lee had a unanimous decision. He had Beeb all by the unanimous decision last night.
Corey Lee even had the scores.
Beeb took him to school the whole time, man. And, you know, those scorecards are – I think, you know, people can't be satisfied with just the win. I think people have to complain because having Beeb only up by one round in the final scorecard means that if Canelo wins the last round, the shit is a draw. Or if Canelo gets a knockdown, he wins. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, so I think more people have to speak up on that rather than just be like, well, the what right guy won, so just leave it like that. But yeah, man, I don't see much of a difference. You know, he beat the greatest boxer out right now, and I think he would do it again in the rematch. He made a new fan out of me, man. You know, so.
Well, that's good. There you go.
Yeah. That's my opinion. That's my rant from last night. So thank you, guys.
All right. Good deal, man. Good deal. Thank you, Jesse Reekin. And keep it up. Keep up the good work. 760-760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's happening? This is Brian.
What's up?
Brian, what's the word?
Hey,
doing,
what's up with you, man? I'm shocked. I'm still shocked from last night. Can't believe that, man. It's crazy. But let me ask you guys, how many rounds did you give Canelo in that fight?
Three?
That's how many
I gave him, too.
Yeah. What about you, Eric?
Everyone I talked to only gave him three rounds.
I gave him one, three rounds.
Huh?
So three rounds, that's it. Yeah.
Three rounds.
I thought the scoring, to me, the fact that Canelo could have won that fight in the last two rounds blows my mind.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But we always know, anybody that fights Canelo, you know, you starting behind. You already know.
You know, but it shouldn't be like that. You know what? I mean, that's the thing, though. It should not be like that.
But even when he fought Mayweather, somebody gave it a draw.
He was a champion.
It's always.
Yeah.
Yep.
And again, man, Bivol was a champion, not Canelo. Canelo was a challenger.
But Canelo, the money man, that's the whole thing. They got to keep that money coming in. They try, because I'm like, dang, they had it. They had that fight score pretty close, and I just didn't see it being. And, you know, I was sad watching this, too, you know, because I'm a Canelo fan, but it wasn't even close, man. It shocked me. But what do you guys think about a rematch? How you think Canelo would do in a rematch? I actually think he might could outbox him in a rematch, Canelo.
Well, I think it depends on, you know, like I said, it depends on, you know, where it takes place, 168, 175. And yeah, I mean, you know, like I think, can he go back to the drawing board? Can they start another, can they renew that game plan? Yeah, absolutely they can. Will that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think you could be watching the same exact fight or you could be watching a completely different fight. I mean, I would like to see it. I would like to see it. And again, you know me, I hate rematches, but
I'm shocked. I'm shocked Derek wants this rematch.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to see it, you know, because again, somebody in the chat has just pointed out they think Canelo was out of shape. You know, listen, man, from 168, all right, he fights about 168. To put on that weight, go up to 175, that's no cakewalk, all right?
Right.
And then this is only the second time he's boxed at 175. Listen,
yeah,
you
got to
put that weight on, and then you got to carry that weight, right? Then you got to carry that weight all 12 rounds.
Because he was breathing heavy last night. He was breathing heavy.
Well, and not only that, again, every shot had bad intentions on. He was loading up on every shot.
That's what I was about to say, too. That's what I was getting ready to say, because he tried to go in there and beat a bigger puncher. Plus, he was putting the pressure on him. That might have worn him out, man. He might have wore himself out, you know. Bivol,
Not only that, yeah. Brian, sometimes when you're in anything you're doing in life, when you're trying hard at something and you're getting frustrated because whatever you're doing is not working, that weighs
takes
on
a lot
mentally.
Out of you.
And I think
it does.
Yeah, he was getting frustrated. He was getting mentally tired as well, and that was also contributing to that fatigue factor.
That's
the
thing
fight,
that
in my
actually
opinion.
That's what shocked me right there is the fact that Canelo went out and he was loading up on shots like he was going in for the kill. I'm like, I would have expected Canelo being the smaller fighter to go in there and just look to outbox him, use his defense. But, man, he didn't even really had no head movement last night, no slick.
Nothing.
He was just – I just think, man, honestly, man, it's – you know, everybody have an off night. I think Canelo had an off night, man. That had to be the case. He just was off. His timing, he just looked off to me,
well, you
man.
Know, and somebody in the chat mentioned that Canelo looked sluggish from round one. Again, I don't know that he looked sluggish so much as it was Bivol's game plan, so much it was Bivol's movement, his speed, his, you know, there was a lot of things that Bivol did everything correctly there. You know, Canelo,
yeah,
not so much.
Yeah, because he shocked me coming out boxing like that. He did a really good job using his jab and just really not committing to engaging with Canelo. He did a really, and his defense, that high guard was just, he was catching everything, man. He really shocked
me. You see that
me. That's
arm?
That's what shocked me, too.
You see Bivol's arm after that fight?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
But he said he knew Canelo was going to be going for the arms, you know, because that's what he do, wear them arms out, wear that body out, and then knock you out. But I just really didn't expect Canelo to go in trying to knock this guy out, being the bigger puncher. I thought he was going to use his skills, and that's what just shocked me, man. I was really surprised by this. You know, I was surprised last night, man. It was funny because I have people over, and I'm like, in the beginning of the fight, I'm like so confident. I'm like, man, Canelo about to knock this fool out. Man, watch. It's going to be like round six. And then by round six, I was like, Canelo about to get knocked out. It looked like a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I just did not see that happening, man. But, you know, Bivol is good, man. He's a good boxer. He knows how to use his jab, his size, and, you know, he just didn't commit to nothing, man. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't get in trouble at all. But I still think Canelo will win the rematch. You know, if they do a rematch, it would be this year.
Yeah, it would probably be in September, I would assume, yeah.
In September,
Brian, say that with such certainty. Brian, you say that with such certainty, man. What did you see that makes you think he can win the rematch?
I just think he had an off. I don't know, man. I might be talking this Wilder gibberish.
What do you mean?
I don't care, man. I might be talking the Laker gibberish.
Look,
I don't care, man. I'm still going for Canelo, okay?
He said that. Screw
that.
I don't care.
If they fight in the rematch,
now that he doesn't have his Deontay Wilder to hold on to like a freaking teddy bear, now he's
walking
on to this guy.
I had my Canelo shirt on last night, and I ripped it like the Hulk. Just ripped it. Bam. Damn,
you
man.
You should get a
Canelo
pillow to hang
down
on to at night now.
But you still have your Canelo underoos, though. You didn't throw those out yet, did you?
Nah. I still got those. They still fresh. Got the CA on them, you know, because CA can be California. I love wearing the Canelo gear.
Oh, my God.
Man.
You're killing me, man.
Hey, I'm surprised Robbie didn't, he wasn't the first caller today. He's not in your basement tonight or what?
All right, so I just texted him, and I said, you'll call in, you know, because we know you didn't watch the fight, so just call in, you know, everybody wants to hear from me, you know. I didn't watch the fight, so I'm not going to call in, like, come on.
I mean, after what he said after what he said about Triple G,
it was
Brian.
It was pay per view.
After what he said about Triple G,
pay per view. You know, Rob don't order
nothing. Apparently,
he
tried it. I guess he tried to order it, and then he couldn't order it. I don't know if it was.
He's calling me. He's calling me, asking, you know, saying he couldn't order it.
What
are
you
going to
do? You know, like, what are you going to do? Drive to California and order it for you?
You know what I told him, Brian?
What you say?
Go to Brian's house and watch it. You know,
you shouldn't talk shit about Triple G, because this is what happens. Now you got blocked.
Stop it, Steve.
Now they blocked you from buying the pay-per-view because you were talking trash about
Triple
G.
DAZN just blocked them, huh?
They blocked them.
That's funny, man.
They blocked them.
Hey, but thanks you guys for having me, man. Eric, thanks for not hanging up on my face, man. You being very generous this year. I appreciate it.
Well, he was spoken to by human resources about his attitude, so he's been shaping up lately.
Absolutely, and I just hung up on him. I didn't want him to feel, you know, any different today, you know. So there you go. I am Dwayne says, we want Robbie. His interruptions are classic. Seriously, how did you screw that up? How did you screw up the pay-per-view? I don't understand. How did you screw that up?
I don't know.
I don't know, again, like, I don't know if it was on DirecTV because, you know, sometimes they put that on there. But, like, really, like, how do you screw that up? How do you not? You just hit the buy button. Literally all you do.
Do you use your phone when you have DAZN, or you just have the app downloaded on your smart TV? Because I use the
sometimes
phone.
Sometimes both. I use both. Like, I do the same thing with ESPN. Like, sometimes I'll order pay-per-views from ESPN on my phone and just watch them on the TV. You know,
that's what I told him to do because he's having problems. I said, download the app on your phone and just buy it on the phone. And then he said, well, it's asking me for my password. I forgot my password. Reset it. What is wrong with you?
Jesus.
What is wrong with you?
He's like in the dark ages over there. And he's in California. That's like Silicon Valley over there. I don't understand. Like, how he's not more computer literate.
I don't get it. I don't get it either.
I don't get it, man. Not exactly an exciting undercard last night. The one fight I will go over is the Montana Love fight. He fought Gabriel Galaz. Love wins unanimous decision 114-112 on all cards. I heard there was talk about Montana Love facing Regis Prograce. Good luck with that one, man, because Montana Love looked awful last night. He really did. I wouldn't have been surprised if the decision went the other way. I thought he looked horrible.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he lost.
Yeah, I didn't think he looked good at all. And you guys are talking about putting him in with Regis Prograce. Are you crazy? And listen, I'm from Ohio, and I love Montana Love, but let's, you know, maybe we got to pump the brakes on that fight. I don't know. Yeah, let's see here. Andrew G said he's lucky he even won. I 100% agree with that. 100% agree with that. Yeah, he just did not look good. He didn't throw many punches. He doesn't want to get hit. He doesn't want to engage. I mean, nobody wants to get hit. But he doesn't want to take those chances. And that's what Yeah, and yeah, I agree with JD. Love will get stopped by Progress. No question about that. No question.
Yeah.
And I love Ohio Fighters. You know how I am with Ohio Fighters, but Jesus, you know, like, come on, man. 508, Georgie, you're live.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Gretchen.
Yo, what's up with that motherfucking performance by Bebo? Everybody now
great.
Jumping in the fucking wagon, huh? The demise of Mr. Canelo. Nah, it's not a demise, man. Man, it's just like, Beeb, you said that the weight didn't have nothing to do with it. Early you
nope.
had a show, you were talking about that.
No, I disagree with nope. that. I mean, you know, I don't know that the weight didn't have anything to do with it.
I think it was more the fact that Bivol was just a better fighter on the night. I think he had a better game plan. I thought he was faster. Now, could the weight have affected Canelo? That he was too heavy and it made him slower? That's possible.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of referring to. Yeah.
Yeah, I apologize, Eric. My argument is people think that, let me just finish and I'll let you go. People were saying Bivol won because he was bigger. Well, Canelo beat guys that were bigger than Bivol. So my argument was Bivol just had a bad style matchup for Canelo, and I think he was faster than him. And I think his speed and movement troubled Canelo in the same fashion that Mayweather's speed and movement troubled Canelo, in the same fashion that Irislandi Lara's speed and movement troubled Canelo. So there's a pattern here. This isn't the first time this has happened to Canelo. He can be outboxed. Right, and that's why I thought he lost. I just thought he lost to a better skilled fighter than him on the night. I thought skill won this fight, not size, from Bivol's vantage point and from that perspective. But go ahead.
Beautiful breakdown, B. That's like if you want to go really deep into it. But at first glance, on the first round, I see fucking Canelo throw this uppercut that Bivol was on the corner. That was the end of the first round. He was on the corner. And Canelo throw this uppercut with all his mind. That shit didn't even move Bivol. When I saw that, I knew that they didn't have the punching power to fuck with Cat.
But he wasn't
nothing
landing
was going
those
through
shots.
The guard.
Yeah, they were being blocked.
He wasn't landing. This
nothing was
thing.
Going
and
through the guard. Listen to a second. Canelo always break your guard. His power always go through. Not everything going to go through, but at least three or four punches, something going to land. Nothing was going through. Dude, you check the fight
the
again. Nothing was going through. Significantly, something that's going to stun him, that's going to hurt him. Nothing hurt him. Nothing.
Look at Bivol's arm after the fight. It was red. His whole arm was red from blocking the body shot.
But he didn't connect to his chin. He didn't hurt him on the body. He landed, you landed fucking arm punches.
That's called defense, brother. That's called defense.
I know, but the reason those arms didn't went down, because this man, not only that he was bigger, he was younger.
Wasn't bigger. He weighed 180. He weighed 183 on the night of the fight. He weighed 183 the night of the fight. Walks around at 185 pounds, 183. He's not a big
lightweight.
That's
what I'm saying. The dude's size allow him to take these punches in his arms.
I disagree.
Nothing was going through, and the only reason that nothing was going through because the dude is natural fucking stronger, natural bigger. All the skill in the world, maybe, can go trespass that. That's why basic skills, let me finish. That's why basic skills got him. The 1-2. Yo, Bivol hardly threw an uppercut. I didn't see an uppercut. I saw like five hooks the whole fight. No 45, nothing besides that 1-2. Jab, 1-2.
Yeah.
All night. That's why the best basic boxing.
Why are you
going to
throw an uppercut if you're fighting from the outside? If you're beating a guy from the outside with your jab and your straight punches,
Canelo closed the gap in many occasions. Canelo closed the gap in many occasions. But that
He wasn't able to stay in the pocket long because Bivol kept turning him and stepping around him and giving him space.
Yeah, that was the plan. But what there were moments in the fight that he was fucking cornered, that he could exchange.
He landed 84 punches, moments.
And then like Canelo didn't close the distance. Canelo closed the distance
many times.
He just couldn't do shit.
Is that what the final punch set was, 84?
Yes, he landed 84 punches in
And they had to fight that close, and they had to fight that close. Go marinate on that. Think about that.
Dude, that size in the youth for me was the different, and obviously you have to have some fundamentals.
Not with the youth.
But
he's older than Canelo. They're the same age. They're the same age, brother.
Yeah, but you know Canelo's
Hell no.
longer. You're not
Hell
actually.
No, they're not the same
age. Yeah, but look how long
somebody
Bivol's been in the amateurs.
Somebody's lying to
is the same age as Canelo? Bivol's the same age as Canelo?
Yes, he's
31
years old. Get over 100 amateur fights, bro.
I thought that dude was like 27 around there. He looks a lot younger, though. He looks a lot younger. I'm wrong about that then, but to me, he looks a lot younger.
He exfoliates every now and then.
He looks fresher to me. I guess what I saw instead of...
You get facial
teeth? But listen, I guess what I saw was really you...
You used to
it was freshness. Right. He looked the fresher, like more alive. Anyway, I don't have a lot to say besides that. Everybody out there is really important. A show like today to support the show. Don't forget to subscribe. Thumbs up. I got to go. I'm out.
All right. Good deal. Georgie.
After every call, I lose brain cells listening to this kid. I really do. I'm sorry.
718, New York City. 718, you're live.
Well, it's New York City, but I'm in Vegas, guys. It's Maestro. How's it going? Great show as usual.
Good, man. Good.
So I want to address a couple things.
Great interviews this week,
heard.
Man.
I appreciate
this week
that,
from Las
man.
Vegas. Absolutely.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate the support, you know, earlier
course,
in the show. I had a whole lot that I was going to say, but I'm just going to address what I just heard. The idea that you can call what Bivol did basic boxing to me is like nonsensical and ridiculous. He's an outside fighter. Why the hell would he throw an uppercut from the outside? That's number one. Number two, he was able to do what he was able to do because of his footwork. And when he was in his own range, he was able to land combination punches. Nothing was basic about what Bivol did at all. I mean, he outboxed Canelo. I gave Canelo two rounds, and I had one other round, a swing round, that I felt could have gone either way. But at most, it was 9-3 Bivol in favor of Canelo. And, I mean, look, we just got to give the guy his credit. I said this before the fight. He was the biggest and best opponent. Well, I wouldn't say biggest, but best and most competitive opponent Canelo has faced since Floyd Mayweather, and he proved it. My concern going into this fight was whether or not the judges would be fair to him or not. And, you know, I'd say the judges were semi-fair. I mean, the scorecard was a lot closer than I had it, but, you know, at least they got the right guy winning. But, you know, this idea that, you know, Canelo only lost because Bivol is bigger, well, he faced Callum Smith. He faced Sergey Kovalev. You know, he was beaten with skills, as Joe Habib so eloquently said earlier in the day. And, you know, the main thing that had to do with size, I feel, was the fact that Bivol has been accustomed to taking light heavyweight punches since he was an amateur. So what Canelo was able to throw really wasn't anything special to him in terms of power. You know, he's been in there with Joe Smith Jr. He's been in there with other light heavyweights his entire career. So that was what I felt came into play. And if Bivol wants to prove that it wasn't about size, not that he should have to, but take the rematch at 168 and put all of Canelo's belts on the line.
I think that's a great fight. I think it's a great fight at 168, you know. I'd like to see it. I think, you know, like I said, Canelo could do some things different maybe, but is it the same Bivol? I'm sure it will be. Good fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? If people still want to see the Triple G fight, you know, everyone has their own preferences, I guess. But to me, you know, if they are going to run it back, and by the way, Bivol was pretty clear, and if his manager, Vadim, was even clearer. They didn't feel really respected going into this fight. I mean, I asked them about
it.
I mean, they were announced first. The ring walk was first. And they didn't even play the Russian anthem. Meanwhile, they played the U.S. anthem and the Mexican anthem. I mean, we spoke about this earlier, Joe. I mean, if you're not going to play every anthem, you just don't play any anthems at all. And they made it clear that, you know, they're going to have to get better pay and they're going to have to get better treatment if they are going to do the rematch.
Maestro, when was the last time you saw a champion walk to the ring first and be introduced first to a challenger? Not a guy with another belt, but to a challenger.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It was completely
disrespectful. I don't know, maybe a Floyd fight when he was fighting for somebody's title, but I honestly, off the top of my head, I can't remember it, to be honest. Can you guys remember an incident like this?
I don't remember one off the top of my head.
I'll tell you one time, and it really bothered me. When Sergio Martinez fought Paul Williams, Sergio Martinez came out first and was introduced first. It was gross. Yeah, it was a long time ago. That was the last time I remember it. You know, I even talked to Lou Beller about it. I believe so. I have to go back and check that.
When's the last time you've seen a challenger's anthem played, but not the champion?
That I've never seen.
Never seen
that.
I've never seen it.
And,
never.
You know, I know they got the whole thing with Ukraine going on and everything like that. That's still inexcusable. Bivol has nothing to do with
thing,
that. He really has nothing to do
whole
with
thing
that.
And I'm
going
to say one thing
were,
real quick. Let me say one
yeah.
thing, Maestro, real quick. And I hate to hijack your call. I'm just going to say one thing because I'm
no,
going to get a little political here for a brief second. I don't like this whole thing that this narrative that just because you're Russian that all of a sudden you share Putin's politics or you're a bad person. I think that's very xenophobic in my opinion, and I've said it before, and I just thought I would say it again because of what I saw yesterday. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
100%. I mean, we live in the United States, you know, and to the credit of Iraqis and Syrians and Libyans and even Afghans and others. I mean, they're able to separate people that live in the U.S. from U.S. government foreign policy. And at the end of the day, if you're going to, you know, take the stance that we're not playing the national anthem of Russia, well, why the hell are you trying to negotiate Usyk Joshua 2 in Saudi Arabia? I mean, we got to have some standards here and keep it real.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more with that.
Anyways, guys, I'm sure you got a lot of callers. Big show. Salute to all of you. Great show. And, again, thanks for the shout-out. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Man. You deserve it, man. You deserve it. It was great stuff this week, man. Appreciate you calling in, man.
Thanks, Eric. 100%.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, he did a heck of a job in Vegas this week. He does. He was at another fight Was it the Crawford fight? Not the Crawford. The Spence fight, wasn't it?
He was at the Katie Taylor fight.
The Katie Taylor fight. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a great job on that one, too.
Yeah. That fight wasn't great, but, you know. They fought for 6 rounds, Beeb. Don't give me that. They fought for less than 6 rounds.
Yeah. I can't fight with you on that
one. Can't fight with me on that one.
I
fought for less
than
6 rounds.
I'm sorry. I can't fight with you on that one.
That's right.
516, New York, you're live.
Sorry, put me back. It's Jesse Regan. I just called back. Put me back on hold.
Jesse Regan, gotcha, okay.
Are you just listening in, I guess?
Yeah, he's just listening. All right, let's move ahead here. Let's talk about the upcoming fights here. We got some upcoming fights next week. Your boys, the Charlo brothers, are, come on. What's the matter with you? All right, let's see what we got here on the 13th. The 13th from DAZN, Milan, Italy. Looks like two girls fighting. I've never heard of.
Come
and
on,
a bunch of people on there I've never heard of.
Show some respect.
Listen, you want to watch fights on the 13th, go ahead and do it. I'm not watching them. Let's see here. The 14th, May 14th, L.A., Showtime. This is the big one, Beeb. Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castaño. 12 rounds for Charlo's WBC, IBF, and WBA junior middleweight titles, and Castaño's WBO junior middleweight title. This is for all the marbles. This is undisputed, son. There you go. Jerron Boots Ennis versus Castillo Clayton, 12 rounds welterweights. Jerron Ennis, to me, I'm real curious to see how he looks in this fight because, to me, he's kind of the heir apparent. You know what I mean? I think he's the best. He could be the very best welterweight out there right now. It just is. So those two, that's going to be on Showtime, so that should be pretty good. May 14th on DAZN from California, Gilberto Ramirez versus Dominic Bozzol, 12 rounds light heavyweights. And, you know, I tell you what, I am interested in that. Like, you know, but Gilberto Ramirez is such a good fighter.
He is.
But he gets nothing, man. I mean, in the way of, you know, promotion. I mean, what is it about him they just can't promote? Mexican guy. I mean, what is it about him that they just can't promote? They should be able to promote this guy to the moon.
Well, look who's promoting him. I mean, I'm not crazy about Golden Boy.
Oh, why? Because he uses kitchen utensils on himself?
That's kind of short-sighted,
don't you? I mean,
I think Golden Boy is excited. The company,
like, because he dresses up in chick clothing? Huh? You don't mind when Akin Barak dress people up? Oscar does it, now we got a problem. I don't understand.
Either.
What's the matter with you? Not all. May 14th, Inglewood, California. All right? There it is. All right, no, Inglewood, California, Triller Fight Club. This will be on Fight TV. Sergey Kovalev versus Tervel Pulev, 10 rounds cruiserweights. Kubrat Pulev versus Jerry Forrest, 10 rounds heavyweights. Evan Holyfield on that card versus Jermaine McDonald. Fernando Vargas, I imagine that's Fernando Vargas Jr., versus Terrence Jarman. So some good fights there, but you can bet I'm not paying for that. And also, too, May 14th from the UAE, Badu Jack versus Hani Atio, 12 rounds cruiserweights. Delphine Pearson versus LM McCullin, 10 rounds for the WBC Women's Junior Lightweight Eliminator. Who cares? This is the fight. This is the one where Mayweather was supposed to be fighting on, isn't it?
Isn't Mayweather fighting his sparring? I think Mayweather is fighting his sparring partner.
That's what I thought, but yeah. He's not listed on here.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know. Did he pull out? Yeah. I mean, I didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear that he pulled out, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not listed. Let me just double-check my schedule real quick.
From Fifi, thank you so much. He says, Canelo seems to have become more power-oriented rather than letting his free-flowing counter style years ago. 61 fights at the age of 31, is Canelo declining? I think it's too early to say. I mean, again, he fought one of the best guys on the planet right now, man. Listen, both Beeb and I were like, you know, we're both picking Canelo, but, you know, I think Bivol is a live dog here. Bivol definitely has a chance, you know. And some people were asking, really, was that big of an upset? Listen, he was a 5-1 underdog. It was a huge upset.
Yeah.
So, Rondo James says he's wearing high heels right now. That's awesome, Rondo. Thank you. Thank you for that. Let's see here. did you see anything about Mayweather?
He's still listed on the schedule that I'm looking at right now.
Okay, I'm looking at the ESPN schedule. That's for the 14th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, if you want to see that fight, I believe it's obviously on pay-per-view because it's Floyd. But it'll be on some kind of
Fight TV, I think. Fight TV.
I thought it was something different. Yeah, well, maybe Fight TV is carrying it, but there was some place you could go, and it was $29.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying that either. I could care less. I mean, what's he going to do? He looked awful in his last fight. He's got to be flat busted, right? I mean, really, he's got. You, what are you doing? I mean,
something's got to be going on, man.
Nobody likes getting hit in the head, son. You know, you know. Come on, he's got to be flat busted.
Something's got to be wrong here. If I'm being honest.
Manny Gatillo said he's streaming boxing for life. He said he's not paying for anything. There you go.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. There it is. All right. News and rumors. We're going to buzz through this here. Matchroom. Babe, your boy, Eddie Hearn, cut Demetrius Andrade. Good move?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think if Andrade wants to get some of these big fights, maybe he's going to have to go to PBC. But Canelo, I don't think is ever going to fight him. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
There's no money. It's too much risk, yeah. Not enough reward. And that's his problem.
So Golovkin's never going to fight him either.
Nah.
So I guess his only bet is to fight the David Benavidez and the Jamal Charlos of the world. Those are probably – and PBC will probably give him good money. So
yeah.
maybe he's going to have to shop himself around and you know, do something with PBC in the future. So,
yeah.
He's getting up there. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I think, you know, I don't know who he's turned down, if he's had opportunities and he just – the money wasn't right or whatever. Listen, sometimes he's just got to – you know, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not in that situation, but it's easy. Sometimes I think you just have to take what you get, go in there, win the fight, and then go. That's what Floyd did, and that seems to be the one thing that Floyd did that nobody else has seemed to follow, you know, is fighting for 25% of the De La Hoya purse or whatever he got for that, you know, and then he became the king, and then he became the cash cow, and, you know, it's just one of those things, man.
Mm.
So,
agreed.
Kell Brook announced his retirement this week. I think this is a great move, man. When I heard he was fighting Chris Eubank Jr., you know, or that was in negotiations, I'm like, nah, man, don't do it. Go out on a high note. You know what I mean? Go out on a high note. Yeah. You get paid. You know, he made some good money. You know, he champion. What else do you need, man? What else do you possibly need? So I think it's a good time for him to ride off in the sunset. I like it. It's a great move. Great move for him. Arthur Beterbiev and Joe Smith set for June 18th. This is a good fight, Beeb. This is a solid fight. I like it. I like Beterbiev. Now, you're taking Joe Smith. What makes you think of Joe Smith?
Well, here's the thing about Joe Smith. He's got very long arms. I think Joe Smith is an underrated boxer. I think he's known for just being an aggressive slugger type, but I think he's got a good jab from the outside. I think he's a great fluid combination punching when he does get up close. You know, it's out of position, his body. He's a good inside fighter. Beterbiev, to me, is a guy who's more of a mid-range guy, tends to square up a lot. I think if Joe Smith keeps the fight on the outside and when he decides to get close, goes deep into the pocket, if Joe Smith stays out of that mid-range, I think he'll have some success in this fight. And because, like I said, Beterbiev is not the hardest guy in the world to hit, not the fastest guy in the world, but he is a durable, strong guy, and you have to walk through fire to stop the guy. But because Joe Smith fights such a fast-paced fight, because he throws so much volume, right, and I think he's got pretty quick feet, and he's got pretty decent hand speed as well. I think he's going to have a speed advantage in this fight, and I think he's going to, you know, do different things in here. I think he's going to, you know, he's going to move in. He's going to try to fight on the outside when he has to, and then when he has to go into the trenches with him, I think if he smothers Beterbiev and takes that mid-range away from him, I think he'll have some success in this fight. And I think he can outwork Beterbiev, to be perfectly honest with you.
Listen, Beterbiev is completely beatable. I mean, he really is. He's completely beatable, but he has so much power that it's hard to
– And he's so strong and durable, too.
It's hard to get away from that.
I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I'm picking Joe Smith. I think he's going to have to walk through fire to do it. And if there's ever a guy who can walk through fire, it's America's working man, Joe Smith.
Where's he from?
New York, Long Island.
That's right, he is. And a lot of fighters come out of Long Island, man. What is it about water over Long Island, man?
Well, you know, that's how it is, man, here in the East Coast, man.
You're not from Long Island.
Well, I'm from the East Coast, man. I'm in Boston.
What difference
is that? Comparable. Very comparable. We got the
It's not comparable
region.
At all. You're in
Have
Boston.
You been here? Have
You're
been
six
here?
Hours away from New York City, right?
Well, if I'm driving fast, I can get there in maybe 3.5
5.5 hours? TNT for Life says Chavez's number one Mexican status got cemented last night. Yeah, it is kind of cold, especially since he lost to Willie Wise. You know, I guess everybody forgot.
Whoa!
All right, Beam, I want you to talk about this now. I really wasn't clear on this. So the WBO stripped John Ryle Casimero. Tell me about this a little bit.
Well, I guess they have a rule in the UK that if you're making weight for a fight, you can't use a sauna at all during the preparation before the fight. I guess they're saying he used the sauna to try to make weight. I guess they think that that's a dangerous thing to do or an unhealthy thing to do. But you can go to numerous health clubs around the world, and many people go in saunas and spend time in saunas, and you know they come out just fine. So to me, I guess he broke their rule, and because of that, they're stripping him for it. I think it's a ridiculous rule, in my opinion.
Yeah, you can't go in saunas now. I don't understand.
Well, they're saying you can't go in saunas when you're training for a fight. I guess you can't use. I guess they were saying he was like.
You don't go in saunas. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, apparently, if you're fighting in the UK, you can't do it. I guess I don't know. And he was in the UK. But obviously, I think the fight was supposed to be in the UK, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you know, they friggin' stripped him. So that's, to me, I think it's stupid. I don't agree with it. I think it's ridiculous.
Jesus, that's insane, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Very, very dumb.
Yeah, the WBO. There you go. There you go. All right, guys, that's a wrap, man. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. On Twitter, you can find me at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week.